to my first in a series of podcasts that I'm going to be doing around just what I do and where I go and how I hang out, particularly around the subjects of my dissection work and hands-on treatment work. And sort of spending time in the lab is great, but the thing about transmitting that kind of information is that it can be quite hard to do it visually. We don't really particularly want to take lots of pictures in a dissecting lab. It's all about the experience that we have within the lab, and there isn't really it's not really the place to sort of take lots of pictures. But people have ideas and thoughts, and some really interesting things come up when people are working on the dissection and doing the things that they do. And so I want to capture some of those experiences that people have so you can share in some of their thoughts. Even if you never step foot inside a DR, then you'll be able to understand sort of what people get from it. The other thing I want to do is to occasionally interview some people and find out what they're thinking, and just in terms of whether it be body work or fascia or movement or anything else, and to maybe have some discussions around what their understanding of their work is and what the theory is. I think there's a lot of discussion in the physical therapy world about what we do and why we do it, and the stories that we tell I don't think are always that convincing. So I'm trying to get across a better understanding and also a better acceptance of what it is that we're trying to achieve, and what it is we think we do. So hopefully that will come across, and join me as I go on my journey. So my first trip this week has been to Poland, and where I have been doing some embalming for a course that's coming up in the next few weeks in Poland in 26th of June 2017. But for the moment, what I've come up with is the chap that's organizing our courses in Poland, a guy called Thomas Jakorski, has worked very, very hard to get the university to let us in to do this class. It's the first one in Eastern Europe of its kind. And he had quite a few questions. So after we'd finished doing our work in the university, we went out for lunch the next day and had a little look around Katowice, where we're going to be doing the work. And he asked me some questions. There is a bit of background noise. We are in a shopping mall having a cup of coffee, so forgive the background noise. But the questions are pretty good, and I think think they'll be quite useful for anybody that is thinking about coming into a lab, or anybody that is contemplating coming to do a dissection. So that's useful information. So we're in Poland, about to get a class set up, and some people have got some questions, and I'm with Thomas Gorski. So hi, Thomas.
Hi.
And so your students have some questions, and I think that's understandable to have some questions. But let's go through those. First of all, there's no such thing as a stupid question. Every question is valid, and people don't know what they're going into. So so one of the questions you had about, you were talking about the leadership of it. Is that right?
Yeah. We are on unknown territory, so people want to understand all the process. So the main question from the candidates are we going to cut the bodies?
So in our dissection classes, in some dissection classes, they call them dissection classes, but actually there's not much in the way of actual dissection. The specimens are already pre-prepared and prosected. And what then happens is the students can examine those prosections for an anatomical study. And they're very useful, and the prosections are done very well. For my class, I'm more interested in people experiencing the end result of physical therapy. So these are physical therapists, and normally physical therapists don't cut with a scalpel, but in this class they're going to cut. Everybody's going to do the work themselves. There's too much to do for me to be cutting. So yeah, it's a very much a hands-on class.
So in this way, how we are going to deal with the safety, because people are not familiar with scalpel work and so on?
Absolutely. So I think it's an interesting question, because if we were asking, you know, how am I going to cut a loaf of bread or peel a potato, then people wouldn't be worried in the same way. You know, everybody in the room will have had a knife in their hands at some stage, and it's no different. We just have to be careful. It's a sharp blade, but it's a very small sharp blade. It's not like we're going to be gladiators. You know, we're not fighting with knives. What we're doing is we're carefully working with sort of surgical instruments. So we have forceps in one hand and we have a scalpel in the other hand, and I teach everybody how to use that. We'll have material that will be safe for them to put down, so there's a safety enrollment. We'll have ways that they can make sure that everything's safe, and we'll be dealing with all the blades for them and everything like that. So there's no real safety involvement. The safety as far as health is concerned, the cadavers that we're working with, the tissue that we're working with, has been embalmed. So all the infection is dealt with. Sometimes with fresh material, depending on the screening that's done, they have to be screened for HIV and hepatitis and TB. But these cadavers have been embalmed. So all those toxins, all those things that are in the human body are not there anymore. So the body is effectively sterilized. It's mm-hmm. sterile. So that it's a very clean environment in that respect, even though it seems a bit gruesome. It's a very clean space to be in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's important. That's
yeah,
important
absolutely.
For many people.
Yeah, no, we want people to be safe.
Yeah. And how about own projects? If there are some people who has some ideas, questions,
sure.
small projects, how you?
I encourage people to bring those projects in. And to discuss them with the members of their team. So when we start on the Monday, we will sort of self-allocate. We'll decide who's going to work at what table, and we'll have roughly equal numbers around the table. And there's a lot to do. And so at any stage, I will demonstrate what we're going to be doing mm-hmm. and show you how to do it. And then people go off and they do their own, you know, their work in their groups. And then when we get to the next stage, then I'll go and I'll show you again. So it'll be demonstrate and then you do, demonstrate and then you do. And if anybody has a particular project that they want to do, then the first thing to do is to let me know, to discuss it with me.
Obviously.
And secondly, then to discuss it with the group. And sometimes those projects, sometimes people have great ideas and it would be amazing to do them. We just don't have the time in 5 days to be able to do them. Sometimes you have to bear in mind that with some of the prosections that you see in the books, and Rohan and Yokochi, for example, you know, they take weeks to get to with very experienced prosectors to be able to then, you know, cut away those sections, body grants, dissector, and all those books. They're amazing, but they're very skilled people who know what they're doing and take a long time to get there. So, so if the project is doable, then we'll explore ways of doing it. And then the rest of the group also has to be happy that we can do it. So I really love projects when people bring them along. And as long as they're manageable, then there's no reason why we can't do those. No. My emphasis is to say to people, look, a lot of people bring anatomy projects along. And that's great, that's fine. But really, this isn't an anatomy class as such. It's not about the anatomy. This is about the experience. You're trying to translate what you're doing with your hands in a clinic room into the dissection and vice versa. You're trying to take from the dissection away so that you can translate that into what you're experiencing underneath your hands. So I'm trying to get people to put their scalpels down as quickly as possible and as much as possible, and to work with their hands, because that's what we work with as manual therapists. We don't work with scalpels or tools or instruments. We work with our hands. And so my emphasis is to get people to try and work with their hands as much as possible.
And are students going to change the tables, to rotate, coming from one table to another?
No, we don't. I say no, but again, we're open to it. But the tendency will be for one group to stay with that cadaver for the week. It builds a sort of a bond. It builds a sense of common purpose. Otherwise, what happens is that I have done it before, where you move a group of students and swap them around, they go to another cadaver. It takes them 2 hours. It's like, have you ever got a new phone, you know, and you hate your new phone? I don't think anybody gets a new mobile phone and says, I love it, you know, because you're so used to the old mobile phone that you kind of hate it, you know. So so quite often it's like, oh, I hate this phone, trying to get to understand it. So rather than actually take people away and put them onto a new cadaver, I encourage them to stay there. But what I do is get them to move around from one place on the body to another. So somebody's really fixed on a knee, I go, all right, come away from that. Let's have a little look at the neck and the head and so on and so forth. But people do migrate from table to table to because there's something interesting going on with, you know, spinal cord or something interesting that they want to see where somebody's progressed that. So people do will migrate as the week goes on. But generally that's your table, and you'll stay on that table with that team and that cadaver for the week, you know, unless there's a reason not to. We can talk about that.
I found something interesting here. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. And I'll be doing that through the week. I'll be going, hey guys, come and have a little look at this, you know, or showing you some of the set pieces that there are in dissection in terms of, you know, certain areas that you might not find otherwise around the back of the neck and the head and certain parts of the viscera. So when we come to do the viscera, I'll be saying, right, this is how we're going to do it, or these are the ways we can do it. You know, there's lots of different ways we can find things in the body. But I want to try and find out what people are interested in and give people that level of interest. Mm-hmm. And also I want people to bring not so much projects, but statements. You know, what's a statement that you have in your head that you go, absolutely, this is the truth. So bring your truth and let's dissect your truth as much as anything else. And we talked about anatomy trains. And if you want to try and, you know, bring a project where you're trying to find an anatomy train, you bring it in. If you want to cut an anatomy train out, then fine. But I'm not going to let you cut an anatomy train out unless it really is one. You know, if you're cheating, we're going to have to talk about that. Because you have to. You know, that's the nature of it. So we're not going to end up with that kind of...
And speaking about mobile phones.
Yeah.
Mobile phones are equipped with cameras. What about pictures?
No pictures.
No pictures.
Pictures are prohibited.
No Instagram, no Facebook.
No Instagram, no Facebook.
No, nothing.
You take your picture, your phone, and you put it in the locker and you leave it there. Mm-hmm. And if you bring your phone out in the lab, I will take your phone off you and you will leave the lab and you won't come back in. So that's the rule. Mm-hmm. Okay, so once people start taking pictures in the lab, you can't control it. The university, if the university doesn't have a policy, then they do under in my classes. We can take pictures, but I can take the pictures, and it's me that can take the pictures, and then I can show those and copy those to the university. They know who's got them, they know what they're going to be used for and where they're going to be used. So our principal concern is for the donors and the donor families. You know, those people have given their bodies for us to learn from. And if people start whipping out their phones and taking pictures, then we lose all control of that. So absolutely, absolutely no phones in the lab.
Okay, thank you for the clear statement about this.
And no cameras and no Instagram and no nothing. We will talk about how best to communicate in respect to that. And people want to talk to people about their experience in a lab. And it's an incredible experience that people have. And I encourage people to communicate and share it. But there's a way about... There's a way around, you know, there's a best practice to communicate that is respectful and careful and honors the gift of the donor. So we will talk about that on the class.
I think the respect is a key word.
Absolutely. You know, we are guests at the university, we are guests at and the donors have given us their bodies to, you know, not to do what we like with, but to learn from. So it's important that we understand that gift. And secondly, the thing is, everybody cleans. If you don't want to clean, don't come on this class. Because if you're not going to clean, you're not welcome. So we clean. We clean every day. We clean our instruments. We clean the lab. And at the end of the week, we clean more. So we buy cleaning materials and we take them in and we clean that lab because that's our gift to the university, our sign of respect to the university and to the donors. Nobody is, you know, if somebody's going, I'm not going to clean, well, you're not coming tomorrow, so thank you very much.
Are students going to hang out after the class?
I hope so. I mean, you know, it's an intensive week, and I hope we can hang out. What I like to do is kind of hold a space that we can learn together. You know, I'm more of a facilitator than I am a teacher or a leader. You know, I'm not an anatomist. I'm not, by any stretch of the imagination, a great anatomist, and I wouldn't claim to be. I'm trying to get people to explore their own understanding of the body, whatever that may mean. And there'll be people that will be coming on my classes that are way better anatomists than me and way better dissectors than me. And I don't hold myself up to be something that I'm not. You know, what I am is I can show you some stuff and I can get there, and I'm learning all the time as well. So at the end of the day, it's nice to sort of decompress a little bit and go out, you know, find somewhere, go and have a beer, and then, yeah, you know, I don't want to turn into a big vodka drinking session, because I can't do that. So, but we can go and have a cup of coffee or a glass of lemonade or a beer or whatever you want to have at the end of the day, and just, you know, just chill for an hour or so. And then I do like to go out with a group once in a week, you know, and we go out maybe on a Thursday night, and we'll find somewhere to go out and hang out and go for an Indian meal or a Chinese meal or something like that. So I always try and organise that, you know, for one night in the week if possible, because it's kind of a nice thing to do. You know.
Okay. How about clothes? How people have to prepare themselves to work the whole day in the lab?
Well, I mean, it's a long day. We're going to start at 9 and we're not going to be out of there before 5 o'clock once we've cleaned up. So you need to be comfortable. You need to be warm enough. But the temperature of the lab is oh, yeah, I think yesterday we were pretty cool in there. So it could be cool. My suggestion is to bring layers that you can take off or put on, and clothes that you're going to be comfortable in. You know, don't bring anything that is too precious that you're too attached to. Don't bring your best trousers. Shoes, footwear needs to be covered. You can't have any open-toed footwear. And again, have something that you're going to be comfortable standing in for most of the day. There are chairs in the lab so we can sit down, and we'll have a period in the morning when we're sitting down as well. So you know, bring plenty of footwear, or footwear that you can be comfortable in, and similarly footwear that isn't necessarily that precious. Don't bring your blessed best blue suede shoes. We're going to be mopping. It's going to be, you know, sometimes it gets a bit messy on the floor as well. So nothing that's too precious. Yeah.
Another thing about the intensity of the of the work. So if somebody is fed up with the meat, and they want to go out and rest. Yeah. How you deal with this?
I would encourage people to self-regulate. We'll have a break in the morning, and I'll just kick everybody out of the lab, you know, and then we'll have a break for lunch. And then sometimes just depending on the mood of the room, I'll go, right, everybody out. We're just going to have 10 minutes. We're going to go outside and have a bit of fresh air or what have you. Sometimes the it can get a bit intense, but otherwise anybody is welcome at any stage to step away, go and get a glass of water, have a sit down, have a break, go outside, you know, go down to the cafeteria and get a cup of coffee or what have you. I think we've got some tea and coffee in a room.
We have
a breakout room. So water. You know, if it gets too much, then take a break. All I ask from people is that they let us know if they're going out, if they're going to leave the class, that they let us know. We'll match somebody up with a buddy for the week, so each buddy will be looking out for their other buddy. So, you know, we'll always say, are you with your buddy? And then we know when we go into lab. There's general security as far as all labs are concerned. And so, you know, getting in and getting out of the lab can be a problem if we're not all together sometimes. And so, you know, we'll check that you're with your buddies. But quite a lot of people will just go, look, you know, for whatever reason I need a break, or I need to step away, and I encourage people to sort of self-regulate and assess themselves to do that.
All right, thank you very much for your answers.
Thank you, Tomáš. And people are very welcome to contact me with any questions they've got. You know, they can always email me, and we're there to support the experience. We're there to, you know, before and afterwards, we'll set up a Facebook group afterwards as well, that can give people the support that they want. You know, the class doesn't finish on the Friday. You know, we finish the actual experience in the lab, but then we take it away and we start to put things together. We start to piece together our experience over many weeks and many months and sometimes many years. And so, you know, that's something that is going to be a major part of our lives forevermore. And a lot of people want to come back and do it again. You know, it's quite addictive, because you realize how much you haven't seen. So much that you haven't seen that you want to see again or find. Anyway, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be good. Cool. So that was my trip to Poland this time. I'll be back in June, and I'm looking forward to seeing how things come out, and also to do a class where we have to do some translation. So I've not done that before, so that might be interesting. I will be back with episode 2 very shortly, as soon as I get my head around the technicalities of doing various things, and also when I think about something to tell you. There's lots in my head, so look out for lots more. Bye for now.